Good morning. John chapter 10. We're going to continue to look at the I Ams that Jesus spoke and claimed. And today we're going to look at the door. Jesus says, I am the door. John chapter 10. And I hope you come in here today expecting something. Not just to sit through another service and go through the motions, but expecting something different. Expecting something from the Lord. Expecting something that He has just for you. John chapter 10, verse 1. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up in some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Jesus is speaking here, and he speaks of the sheepfold. Now, the sheepfold was a place where at night all the shepherds would bring their different flocks in, and it was a holding area, maybe with a wall around it or whatever, and an opening. And they would bring all the sheep in there at night, the different flocks, the different shepherds would bring them in there to be held at night, and they would assign a gatekeeper at the opening of the sheepfold to watch them during the night. And so they were all put in there together. And what Jesus is saying here is, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door. You see, there was one way in the sheepfold and one way out. There was just one opening. And there really wasn't a door or a gate there. There was a doorway or a gateway. And they would hire a gatekeeper at night, and he would sleep in the opening so that the sheep, if they tried to come out, they would wake him and he'd hold him in there. If anything tried to come in, it would have to go past him. And so Jesus is saying, anyone who climbs up and gets into the sheepfold, in other words, gets into the flock, by any other way than the door, is a thief. In other words, they're breaking in. They're coming in from some other way than the door, the doorway, the right way. Verse 2, he says, but he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And to him, the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. There's a couple of things to see here. The doorkeeper. The doorkeeper, that represents the Holy Spirit. He keeps. He says to him, to the shepherd, the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. The Holy Spirit is the one that opens our ears to hear the voice of God. And just in the same way here that he says the doorkeeper opens the way for the sheep to hear his voice, because different shepherds bring different flocks in and they're all mixed together. But when their shepherd comes and he calls them by name, they recognize his voice. So they separate themselves, and only this shepherd comes in and speaks, and only his sheep come out with him because they know his voice. And he says he calls them sheep by name and he leads them out. Judaism was very strong at this time, and Jesus had come to lead people out of Judaism and into the new covenant that he was about to make with his people. And so it's important to see that he leads them out. He leads them out in the same way he leads us out of the world. Amen. When he calls you to himself, when he calls you by name, when the Holy Spirit draws you to him and you come into a relationship with God, he calls you out of the world. Just like he calls his sheep out to follow him, he calls us out of the world. He calls you out to follow him. Verse 4, and when he brings out his own sheep, He goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yes, they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. When he brings his own sheep out, he goes before them. When God, when the Lord leads you, he goes before you. Amen. He goes before you. And that's why we're to follow him, to follow his steps, because he goes before us. And he says, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Let me ask you this morning, do you know his voice? Do you know the voice of the Lord? Now, I'm not saying I can read Scripture. Anyone can read Scripture. And you need to read Scripture because that's what prepares you and helps you to hear the voice. But do you hear the voice? Do you know the voice of the Lord? If he spoke to you, would you know it? He says they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they don't know the voice of strangers. Interesting there. Two things. As I said, he goes before us. He leads. The shepherd leads us. Jesus leads us. And therefore, we're to follow where he leads. Those who know his voice will follow him. You see, if you don't know his voice and you're following him in one direction and suddenly he goes in a different direction, do you follow or do you get lost? You see, that's why it's so important. It's important to follow him and to follow closely because Jesus goes, the Lord leads where he directs. He leads where he wills. And we may be saying, okay, this is the direction he's going and I'm following him. But if he goes, boom, and turns to the left and says, I'm going this way now, are you going to keep going straight? If you don't know his voice, you will. If you don't hear his voice, you'll get lost. You won't be able to follow him. Because oftentimes, many times, most times, that's how you follow him, through his still, small voice, having been in the Word. Amen. Having been in the Word. Stranger. He says they flee from strangers because they don't know their voice. And that's a message to us. When you hear voices, that's why it's so important to know the voice of the Lord. Because there's a lot of voices out there. Amen? Too many voices. Voices from everywhere and anywhere. Second Corinthians in chapter 11 and verse 13 says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. You see, that's what we see today. That's why he says, the sheep that know my voice will follow me. They won't follow strangers because they don't recognize their voice. But here's the issue. If you don't recognize the Lord's voice, how are you going to know the difference in a stranger's voice? In a false apostle. And there's many false apostles today. Turn on the television. And he says, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Let me ask you something. Can you tell the difference between something that's of God and something that's not of God? Sometimes it's not easy. It takes discernment. It takes knowing the voice of the Lord. Because he says, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Can you tell the difference? Do you know the difference between something that's of God and something that's not? Because you see, you've heard me say this before in the past. Just because it's good doesn't mean it's of God. There's a lot of things that are good to our understanding, but they're not of God. And that's why it's important to know his voice, to be able to follow him. Because there's a lot of voices, that, as he says, false apostles everywhere. a lot of voices out. Even Satan comes as an angel of light. Would you know that? Would you know the angel of light is disguised if he approaches you? Well, let me tell you something. He already has today. You may not be aware of it. You don't have to be aware of it. Sometimes you can, you don't have, there's a lot of things you're not aware of that are. But I venture to say almost everybody here, somehow the angel that Satan disguises as an angel of light in the spirit realm has tried to affect you today already in some way. You may not be aware of it, but that's how he works. And that's why it's so important to know the voice of the Good Shepherd. How do you know that voice? You have to know his word. You have to know his word. And the more you know his word, and the more you listen and spend time with him, the more you'll know his voice. Because you see, he doesn't speak in an audible voice unless he's going to manifest supernaturally. He speaks in the spirit. He speaks to your spirit by his spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit, gatekeeper, the doorkeeper. That's why the doorkeeper represents the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us recognize his voice. You guys getting this? It's really good stuff, not because I'm saying it, it's because it's coming from here. He says, therefore, in verse 15, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. You see, even his minions, his demons, they disguise themselves as ministers. And that's why it's so important to know his voice. Like I said, there's a lot of his demons are going to speak to you. They're going to say things. They're going to present things. They might even look good, but they're not of God. And the only way you're going to know the difference is to know his word and know his voice. If you don't know his word, you won't recognize his voice. Because every voice you hear, if it doesn't line up with his word, you know it's not his voice. That's how you test it. You hear something or you sense something, you immediately need to ask, does this line up with his word? If it doesn't, then you're either hearing you or you're hearing somebody else. Verse 6, Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. And so he's going to explain it to them again. Verse 7, Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Jesus is saying, I am the door for the sheep. He's the way. He's the door for the sheep to come and to follow. He's the door for us. He's the door. He's the door. He's the door to God. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You got to go through the door to get to God. You got to go through the door to get to heaven. You got to go through the door to get to where he wants you to go, to where he wants you to be, the door. Verse 9, he says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. He's just echoing what I just quoted in John 14, in verse 6. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for me, except through me. And he says here, I am the door, and if anyone enters by me, he'll be saved. The only way to salvation is through him. Amen. He is the only way through salvation. And that's exactly what he's saying there in no uncertain terms. I'm the door, and if anyone enters by me, he'll be saved. You want to be saved? You want to go to heaven? You want to have your life changed? Go through the door. Go through Jesus. Come to the door. Come to Jesus. Just like when he calls his sheep out of the sheepfold and they recognize his voice, only his comes out. And it's true in the church today. True believers, true followers, hear his voice. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved. And he'll go in and out and find pastures. Pastures represent peace, security, provision, a resting place. And if you want that in your life, you got to go in through him. He said they go in and out. They'll go in and out and they'll find pasture. You know what that means? There's only one way out. There's only one way out of the spiritual death that we're all born into. Jesus. He's the only way out. The only way out of the world. You want to come out of the world? It's through Jesus. You want to come out of what you're struggling with and maybe the mess you're in? There's one way out of it. Jesus. I saw this sign. It's one of these electronic billboards. And in Tennessee, and I took a picture of it. I keep that picture because it lights up and it says, Jesus is the answer, no matter what the question. He's the only way out of an ungodly life. He's the only way out of the world. But he says they come in and out. He's the only way in to new life. He's the only way in to salvation. He's the only way in to heaven. It's one way. The sheepfold was enclosed except for one opening. There was only one way in and one way out through that door, through that opening, and that's Jesus. The only way out of the world, the only way in to new life is Jesus. Salvation, real life. In fact, Ephesians 2:18 tells us, for through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Speaking of, then we're speaking of the Jews and Gentiles, which means everyone. Through him, we have access by one Spirit to the Father. Jesus said, I'm the door. I'm the door to God. And I'm the only door that you can go through to get to God. Amen. It's the only way. It's the only way. Verse 10. It's a familiar verse. But I don't think sometimes we realize how serious it is. The thief, John 10:10, comes. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he says, I have come that they may have life abundantly. Jesus spells it out right there. He tells us what the mission and the goal and the purpose of the thief is. The thief is to rob the flock. The thief is his purpose and his mission is to invade the flock and to steal from the flock, to kill in the flock, and to destroy things of the flock. That's the only reason he comes, to steal, to kill, and destroy. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your faith. He wants to kill you, if not physically, emotionally, and spiritually. He wants to kill you. And he wants to destroy any relationship you have or try to have with God. That's his only purpose. Steal, kill, and destroy. That's the thief. And guess what? We've already read, he disguises himself as an angel of light. He's very clever. And if you don't know the voice of God, if you don't know the voice of the shepherd, then you're exposed to being robbed, killed, and destroyed in some way, shape, or form, especially in the spirit realm, but also in the physical. The enemy would just as soon kill you physically as he would spiritually, but he definitely wants to kill you spiritually so that you have no relationship with Jesus, that you don't know the voice of Jesus, and so you just wander and he can use you as a pawn. You see, it can be very subtle. It's not necessarily just all in your face. The devil doesn't jump up in your face and say, I'm going to deceive you. He comes as an angel of light. And he's very deceptive. And if you don't know the voice of the shepherd, you'll fall. You'll listen to his voice. Because his voice is deceitful. It can sound very good at times. It can talk very good things to you and make you think, okay, and you're headed for destruction. You're headed for destruction. Verse 11, not only does Jesus say, I'm the door, he says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Verse 12, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, he sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf scatters the sheep and scatters them. And he's talking about shepherds here. And a hireling reminds me of back up into verse 2 or 3 where he says, anyone that comes in any way besides the door, he climbs over and comes in some other way, is a thief. And that's a hireling. You see, he's talking about shepherds. God has strong words for shepherds because they have a lot of responsibility. And he says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling is just there drawing his wages. And when things get tough or when the wolves come, he takes off. And that doesn't mean necessarily he leaves. He could just sit by passively. He says he flees. There's ways to flee without actually running. And he said, and the wolf scatters the sheep. You see, we see a lot of that today. We see a lot of that today. There's a lot of hirelings. Let me tell you, I'm not a hireling. I'm not a hireling. Because hirelings, they're just, you tell them what to do, and they only do what you tell them what to do, and they're there just to draw their wages. Churches need shepherds. Shepherds that will lead. Shepherds that will guard. Shepherds that will protect. Shepherds that will lay down their life for the flock. And Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus gave his life for us, for all the sheep, for all the flocks. If you look and you think of the modern day church, and you look at some of them, what do you see? He said, the hireling flees because he's a hireling and he doesn't care about the sheep, verse 13. He doesn't care about the sheep. Someone that's a hireling, that's posing, that came in another way besides the door and not through Jesus, through the right door, And they're a hireling. They don't care about the sheep. They're just going to protect themselves, and they're going to look out for themselves. And I don't want to make this a hammer session for others, because I need to take care of my own business. But you see a lot of hirelings in churches today. The word's not being preached. The people aren't being shepherded. And the door is not being watched. Verse 14, he says, I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. Jesus said he's the good shepherd, and he knows his sheep, and they know him. Let me ask you a question. I'll ask the reverse question. Does he know you? Does he know you? He says, I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known by them. I didn't ask you if you know him. Does he know you? Does he know you? You see, the only way he knows you is if you know him. And I'm talking about a relationship. Of course he knows us. Whether you believe in him or you have a relationship or not, he knows you and he knows everything about you. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the relationship. Do you know him? Does he know you? If you speak today, Lord, would he say, I know that's Miguel's voice because I know him. Or would he say, who's that? Who's that? You see, you can't use him for a rescue mission. You can't call on him just when you need him, because guess what? He don't recognize your voice because you don't recognize his. It starts with us knowing his voice. And the only way to know his voice is to know his word and to know him. Spend time in his presence. Don't do all the talking. Do most of the listening. And just listen. You say, well, I've done that before, and I just don't hear anything. Keep doing it. How much time you spend in the Word? The first time you pick up the Word and you read, if you turn to this chapter and you start reading there, do you understand everything? No, maybe not. You going to quit? Well, it's the same thing with him when you get in his presence. If you'll just wait. You just wait and listen. And if you're in the Word and you're connected with him and you have a relationship with him, the Holy Spirit is going to speak. He will come. It may be when he, it will be when he's ready. But you see, we want to go and get in his presence, and we want to spend 5 minutes there and get the answer. What we need. What we want. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Knowing his voice, recognizing his voice only comes from hearing his voice over and over. The best way to hear his voice over and over is here. As you read this, this is his voice. So that when you get in his presence, and these other voices are trying to talk, you don't listen because you're listening for the one still voice of God. And you'll recognize the one true voice of God because you've been in his word. Amen. There's no other way, because you'll be confused. You know, I hear people say, well, I've made these plans and I did this and this, and then I asked the Lord just to bless it. Oh, you ask the Lord to bless your plans. Okay, I get it. We do that, right? We make our plans and we say, okay, Lord, I got it laid out. Bless it. And you know what he does a lot of times? Just sits by quietly and he watches. And we just go on with our plan. And then when it crashes, we think, what up with that, Lord? I did this for you. No, you didn't. You did it for you. Right. You did it for you because it was your plan, not his plan. You see, I've made a lot of plans, and he's flipped them 180 degrees. And that's the way of hearing his voice is when he flips it, when he changes directions. That's why I said if you're following him, he changes directions. You're going to get lost if you don't know his voice. Because he's going to say, hey, I'm coming this way. And you're still going that way. If you hear his voice when he calls, you can follow him and you can come to him. I know them and they know me. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I'm known by my own. Does he know you? Do you know him? It's one way, only one way, because he's the door, and he's the good shepherd, and it's his way. Verse 15, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus lays down his life for the sheep. Amen. That's you and me. Amen. He lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. He's speaking of those, here he was speaking of the Gentiles and the Jews. And he said, those that are not me, I'm going to bring them also. And he, as you read the Bible, you know he also brought the Gentiles to himself. And so he took the Jews and the Gentiles and he said, I'm making one sheepfold, one flock, one flock. Every nation, every race, every ethnicity, one. Amen. One flock. Amen. So that there will, he says, they will hear my voice and there will be one flock and one shepherd. That's where we're headed, folks. We're headed to one flock and one shepherd. We have under shepherds. I'm an under shepherd. He is the shepherd. I'm just an under shepherd. He says, therefore, my Father loves me, verse 17. I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. So he's saying, I'm laying down my life for the sheep. No one made me do it. No one makes me do it. I do it of my own free will. And I can take, lay down my life, and I can take it back up. And he did. He did. In verse 16, when he says, other sheep I have and out of this fold, they will hear my voice. There's a scripture in, it's Isaiah. Isaiah 42. Verse 6, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and I will hold your hand, and I will keep you, and I will give you as a covenant to the people and as a light to the Gentiles. Obviously, he's foretelling the light that we saw last week that he would send to the world, to the Gentiles. In chapter 56, Isaiah 56, in verse 8, he says, the Lord God who gathers the outcast of Israel says, yet I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him. He's saying, I'm bringing them all in. I want to bring them all in. And that's what he wants to do today. He wants to bring them all in. And but you know what? He instituted the church. He created the church as a living being organism. And that's the vessel through which He chose to bring all in. Amen. And so that means we have a responsibility. Yes, we have a responsibility to bring others in. Amen. To reach others with Him. We have that responsibility. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. He says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one," speaking of Jews and Gentiles, Jews and non-Jews, "and has broken down the middle wall of separation." See, in Jesus' time, the Jews and the Gentiles, there was a wall of separation between them. They didn't mix, they didn't talk, they didn't associate. And Jesus said, "That's over, because I came to bring all together into one flock." And that's what He's trying to do today in this world we live in. "For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity," the hatred, that is, "the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And He came and He preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near," speaking of Gentiles and Jews, "for through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." Amen. You see, we have all this, they had that separation between Jews and Gentiles. Today we have separation just over what we think. And He's saying, "I want my people to be one. Amen. Just like me, I and the Father are one, I want my people to be one. That's why I'm the good shepherd. Amen. Because I call you to one flock." Amen. "Under one good shepherd." Amen. Jesus. Amen. He's the good shepherd. Amen. He is the good shepherd. I want to ask you again this morning, does He know you? Does He know you? And the only reason you can know if He knows you or not is that you know Him. Do you know His voice? You see, you can know Him and not hear His voice. You can know Him and not hear His voice. We have to hear His voice if you're going to follow Him. And the only way to hear His voice is through His Word and through His Spirit and time with Him. Listening to Him. Amen. Listening to Him. You can listen for His voice driving down the road. You can listen for His voice anywhere. But you know where the best time is, the most precious time is? Just you and Him. No distractions. No distractions, just you and Him. Do you know the door? Have you gone through the door? Are you following the Good Shepherd? Are you listening for His voice? See, that's key. Are you listening for His voice? Many Christians go through life and they don't listen for His voice. They just know, "I'm saved, I'm a believer, I love Jesus, I'm just doing my thing." You won't hear His voice. Just because you're a believer doesn't make you automatically hear His voice. It's not osmosis. You have to engage. You have to engage His Word, and you have to engage Him to hear His voice. Does He know you? Do you know His voice? Let's pray. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And my people, they know his voice. They know his voice. His sheep are his own. He goes before them, and they know his voice. He goes before you. He goes before you in that thing you're dealing with in life. He goes before you in your struggles in your body, with physical things. He goes before you with the things that you're struggling with emotionally. He's already gone before you. He goes before you in the spiritual realm, so that in the spirit you can hear his voice and you can know his voice. He goes before you. Are you following him? Are you following him? Lord Jesus, by your word and by your spirit and in your presence, we can know your voice. We can hear your voice so that we can follow your voice. God, stir something up in this church. Stir something up in this church so that the only voice that's heard in this church is your voice. Stir your people. Create a hunger and a thirst for your word, and a hunger and a thirst for your presence. God, we need to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. We need to hear his voice and only his voice. Help us today, Lord, to hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen.